with a new identity. With that identity, you also have spiritual inheritance. And the greatest spiritual inheritance in our prophetic identity is the spirit of prophecy. It's the Holy Spirit himself. God say, I'm a spirit. Where the spirit is, there's freedom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Wherever it goes, it's like, declare, the kingdom of God is at hand. Ask them to repent, change their mindset, because the spirit of God is here. So the kingdom breaks in. You see signs and wonder. It's all the operation of the Holy Spirit. But the operation of the Holy Spirit need a human vehicle. So in us, with all our frailty, I wake up each morning, I'm like, nah, still the same. In fact, I'm getting older. You know, I mean, my hair, 20, 30 odd years, I have a few more. But it's all in us. Inner being, isn't it? And we have to look inside to bring it out. Out of the living water, you bring it out, you become a living streams. Living streams. Streams of living water. Why? Because the world is dry and it's in the dark place. So I want to talk about prophetic promises, the big P. The big P of the Bible is obviously Messiah is coming. When he comes, this is what it's going to look like. So Isaiah prophesies it, all right? When Jesus turned up, I don't know how many years ago, but it was said, therefore it will be done. So when you tap into that, you will do multi-fruitful stuff. I was going to say multitask, but, you know, a lot of the guys are like, what's that? I can't do that. You know, Marie jokingly say, oh, we better pray for him because they don't know what they're going to do or where they go. You know, it reminds me of this slave girl in the 18th century. And she were illiterate, 18th century in America. But the mom remembered and told to this little girl, and this little girl hear that story and prophetically, she didn't use that word, okay? But prophetically, she connected and said, I'm not a slave. I hear from God, one day I will be free. An illiterate girl, obviously Negro. Oh, sorry, I don't know whether that's proper. That's wrong. Okay, black, not white. I'm going to talk about the white slave too. Thank you, angels, coming to visit us. How are you? Blessing. So this girl believed that she is free. Why? She heard a voice that she took the prophetic promise and she saw herself walking free. And somehow God led her and her favorite prayer is, Lord, I don't know what to do, where to go. Guide me, please. Very simple prayer. When God prompt her, she will go wherever God leads her and she will do whatever. And eventually, she was not set free. She found a way of escaping. And the route was, she found a train that go up. I think south is where the slavery is, isn't it? Anyway, whether north or south, she found a way to the other part. And it was a train. And she's like, this is not good enough. I'm free, but my extended family is still back there. So again, she prayed, Lord, I don't know what to do, where to go, guide me. And then God kind of spoke to her, not audibly, but basically be a train conductor. She became a train conductor. So she smuggled through heaps of slaves. When you are praying a lot, that's where you hear. If you pray and you don't expect to hear, then you're not praying. If you're praying, you're supposed to be prophetic. Prophecy is simply hearing from God. That's it. But hearing from God, not from the past, not from the future, from eternity. So So it's timeless, and you can tap into any time when God say, time to go, time to do it. So with your prophetic identity, you have the inheritance of the Holy Spirit. That's the biggest thing. It's not not ticket to heaven, because when you get the ticket to heaven, everybody do the same thing. But down here, you also have a prophetic destiny. Each of us got something to do in the prophetic promises of the Messiah that somebody else can't do, or God has reserved it just for you. So if you don't do it, I know some people say, it's not going to be done. I don't know how it works. But possibly, you know, we all like pieces in a jigsaw puzzle. If you don't play your part, we're not going to have that fullness. That's why the body of Christ is made up of, you look around, we are all so different. You know, here now, a Chinaman, you know, English is my second language, preaching to an Aussie crowd. You know, only God can do that. You know, when I was living with my parents who is illiterate and who haven't flown at all, only God can do that. So you need to tap into that big prophetic promises. And then from that prophetic revelation, you get that prophetic proclamation. Proclamation, you know, we kind of like, oh, yeah, you know. No, when you proclaim on behalf of the King of Kings, you are decreeing something. And you're partnering with the King of Kings. When you decree on earth, it will be done as it is already established in heaven. So let me look at someone. Can I have the next one? All right. Next one, when you're ready. I'm going to talk about Patrick. Now, he's a white slave. I talk about a black slave. Patrick died in the year 461 on March 17. March 17, year 461. And he was known as St. Patrick. St. Patrick was the apostle and bishop of Ireland, but he wasn't born in Ireland. When he was a teenager, he was kidnapped and shipped out to Ireland as a slave. Teenager. All right? So I'm sure he was traumatized. I would. You know, mommy and daddy is not there. My favorite food is not there. My bed is not there. But Patrick, in his young age, while he was a slave, pray a lot. He pray a lot, and he hear prophetic voice. So Patrick became the apostle and bishop of Ireland, the place that he was in slavery. So this is what he writes in his confession. I would pray all the time right through the day, teenager in slavery. I would pray at all time right through the day, more and more, the love of God and the fear of Him grew strong within me. As my faith grew, so the Spirit became more and more active. We need the Spirit to be more active in us. That's why Paul said, Timothy, fan into flame. You know, stir it up. You know, we don't want to be stuck. The Spirit always move. All right? If you read in the Bible, the Spirit do not stay still. We do. You know, we get stuck. But the Spirit is constantly moving. Therefore, we need to partner with the Spirit what is moving. Because where the Spirit is, there's liberty. That's freer. Let me read on. So that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers, and a night only slightly less. So he's basically praying all day, all night. 100 prayers a day. Yeah. Although I might be staying in a forest or out on a mountainside, it would be the same. How is that? Pray without ceasing, isn't it? Whatever. whatever he was doing. Even before dawn broke, I will be aroused to pray in snow, in frost, in rain. Pretty yucky kind of situation. In snow, in frost, in rain, I would hardly notice any discomfort. I was never slack, but always full of energy. Remember, he's a slave. Slaves are meant to do stuff, hard stuff for the masters. It is clear to me now that it was due to the fervor of the Spirit within me. We need the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants us to freshly anoint us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be about the Messiah ministry. So in his prayer as a young boy, he saw a vision that a ship is going to come and rescue him. So he was rescued and returned back to England. But his habit in slavery, now he's a free man, kept going. And one night in his dream, an Irish voice, I don't know what an Irish voice sounds like, but in the dream, the Irish voice say, "Come back and walk once more among us." Prophetic revelation, prophetic promise. When he went to Ireland again, the place that we was enslaved, that he was traumatized, he developed such a heart for God. This is what it said for him. Patrick was made to shepherd the flocks of his captors. Instead of dwelling in bitterness and despair, the young enslaved Patrick turned his heart constantly to the Lord. Redeeming the time, he grew strong in faith and prayer. This prepared him to receive a vision to go back to Ireland, you know, and he was known as the apostle and bishop of Ireland. Ireland was very, very pagan then, and, you know, England was slightly better, but, you know, in those times. But he was there. And then Patrick campaigned fiercely for the liberation of slaves in Ireland, standing up to gangs who kill men and capture women. His faith was just not a matter of inner piety, but a justice-loving ethic that longed to see all Ireland, including the soldier that you know capture all these slaves, transformed by the beauty, freedom, and love of Christ. What does Christ mean? It's a Messiah one, the anointed one. We are Christian, so therefore our identity belongs to the Messiah. If we belong to the Messiah and the Messiah is within us, we all have the ministry of the Messiah, the gospel of the kingdom. So the question obviously is, what are we going to do? Next slide. So the mystery of, so this is the big prophetic promise, all right? Okay. So even Jesus Christ, when he was full of the Holy Spirit, tested in the wilderness, he still have to tap into a prophetic promise. I'm suggesting nothing happen if you don't tap into the big prophetic promise, so that you can have the prophetic paradigm to go forth and do the prophetic proclamation in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So before Jesus started his ministry, let's go to the next one. All right. It's very hard there. All right. Anyway, I'll get my wife to read it. Actually, Leslie, can you read that?
And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord."
So do you think the young Sultan slave tap into that? Do you think St. Patrick tap into that? They might not, you know, memorize the scripture, but they were doing that stuff. They were binding brokenhearted. They were setting captives free. You know, they were proclaiming freedom to those who are in prison. Next one. So this is where it comes from. So Isaiah 59, Isaiah again pick it up and say, okay, I'm going to promise you that all people through the covenant will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was only released to a few. But this is all for everyone. So the conversion is Jesus have to kickstart it. Now it's our turn. If you look at that scripture, all right, Jesus stopped at verse 2. I know it's not there, but it's somewhere. Then I'll read in the second part. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting or heaviness. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up former devastation, and they will repair the ruined city, the desolation of many generations. So my question is, who are they? So they are not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is only one person. Could it be that it's us? That the Messiah ministry now is transferred to us, and we are it, or we are they. You know, we are the brokenhearted, and Christ came and mend our hearts. We were in prison and captives in sin, but now we are children of the Most High God. So this is our part, or part two of Messiah ministry. He come and gone and say, okay, you're it. All right? Because this is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just gospel of salvation. Repent, for the gospel of kingdom is here. So gospel of the kingdom are supposed to influence community and impact nation. So Patrick did that. The slave woman did that. All right? So that's our calling. You know, if you think you're doing the stuff, I'm saying there's more. All right? Next one. All right, this is from Dr. Derek Morphew. So it's basically, I need to stay there. It's hard to twist around. All right, X18, we all know about that, okay. Again, this is the passing of the baton, passing of the Messiah ministry to us. Did it stop at X18? So many of Christian church would say, yeah, that was those times. They do need the signs and wonders. We don't need it now because we got the Holy Bible that replaces the Holy Spirit. Therefore, intellectually, we can argue with people and get them into the kingdom of God. But Jesus is like, hey, if I need the Holy Spirit to do the stuff, guess what? You need more. You need more, you know? So I'm going to go up and so that the fullness of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Come upon you. Different language to being born again. All right? We are born of the Spirit. But coming upon you, that's the anointing. Anointing is setting you apart, giving you the ability to do the stuff. So it's not all the right of the authority to be a child of God, but all the might of a child of God in the Messiah, and doing the same stuff. Are you doing the same stuff? Because mission need prayer, and prayer need mission. Prayer, if you become a closet Christian and don't show yourself and become in the closet only, to me that's not Christianity. you have to get out. All right. Even Patrick pray a lot, but it's not all about his inner piety. He has to go out and show and tell the good news. Show and tell. You have to show the power, man. No power, no presence. What's the difference? It's all philosophy, a mindset. But the prophetic paradigm needs to break through. That's what Kairos time is. When you break through to the chronos, it's like, whoa, what was that? That's the kingdom of God breaking through. All right? So Derek Morphew basically say, you need to receive the power to do the world mission. All right? It's not a regeneration. Like, say, you're already born again. You will be sanctified, but you need that prophetic empowering. So that we can say, okay, what's happening here is basically what's spoken in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. I'm just continuing it. I'm continuing it until Christ comes back. So you're prophetic proclaiming that this is a year of favor. There will come a time, we need to hear this. There will come a time where it's a day of vengeance. And say, time's up. The prophetic time has come that people will be judged. So my brothers and sisters, we have good news. Let's not keep it to ourselves. It's really, really, really not fair. And, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of selfish. You know, Messiah came for the world, and we're like, nah, I want to be a closet Christian. Me, mine, and I is good enough. And then we stick around, and then, oh, maybe two or three, that's good enough, that's the church. Or is it bigger than that? I think God has a bigger vision than that. He loved the world, so he loved your world. Where's your world? Where's your community? Where is those community that need the light of God? Where are those captives, brokenhearted, that need that proclamation so that they can be free? So it's a succession of narrative replicating Jesus' ministry. That's what we call it to. So we got the spiritual identity of a child of God, Christian, follower of Christ, the Messiah one. If we are the Messiah one, we have the Messiah ministry. So doing the stuff among ourselves, that's not what the gospel of the kingdom is. We have to get out into the street. That's where the good stuff is. You know, John Wimber say the meat is in the street. Basically saying, you know, if you just do the stuff inside, that's just milk. You know, that's for babies. You want the real stuff? You want to do the real stuff? Hit the street. You know, like Patrick confronting the gangster. I know some of the ladies here, you know, reaching out to street, what's the word, sex worker. I don't know what, I mean, don't correct me. I'm not politically correct most of the time. But you know what I mean. You know, human trafficking and all that. They're standing up and saying, no, this is not right. This is not the kingdom. This is not justice. This is not mercy. My God is full of mercy. My God is full of grace. And there's peace in the gospel of the kingdom. And we have it. That's our inheritance. When we get to heaven, there's more. But it's time to share that inheritance. It's time to share and raise up yourself and say, I got a spiritual destiny. You know, my Father has designed me and destined me to do this stuff. I'm going to be and do what the Father called me. Just like Christ. Because Christ say, I only do what I see my Father do. Now we are in that position because we are children of God. Next one. Ooh, now that's your new identity. Can you do it? I think I can. Is that a train? I think I can. All right, all those who grew up with that. I think I can. I can. I will. So you can do it. Will you do it? I just drank too much coffee, all right? No, it's it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can't blame the coffee. All right, next one. All right, I'll finish off here. So, come Holy Spirit, let me pray. So, Father, would you give us fresh anointing? Would you clear our scattered senses that stuck somewhere in the past? When we want to be a prophetic people, Lord, we believe in the presence and for the future, because that's what your kingdom is, bringing the future into the presence, calling what's not to be. That's the prophetic power, Lord. So we've been too passive with what you've given us. Would you arouse us again? Would you stir it up? Would you raise up more Patricks here? Or the slave girl, that we will stand for justice, we will love mercy, and we will walk calmly before you. But with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, let it not be stuck with us. Let not the living water be stuck in us and die as a dead sea, but let it flow, Lord. Let it flow. Let it flow. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Lord, we need you. We so desperately need you, Lord. We invite you to come in, and as we sing these songs, Lord, may our hearts just be so open to you. Lord, would you shift our mindsets, do whatever it is you need to do, Lord. Help us. Push us out of the nest. So all we have to do, all we can do is just fly for you. Lord, cut all the support strings, Lord.